Well, I know it's Tuesday, but you've got questions, we've got answers, plus a few surprises coming your way today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, blessed, excited to be with you today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I know we always do this on Friday. Plan to do it this week, actually coming your way live from California on Friday. But you've got questions, we've got answers. So anything you want to ask me about, any question under the sun, anything you want to challenge me on or get more information on, anything at all. If it's not in my area of expertise, I'll just tell you it's not, but let's go for it. 866-348-7884. Bible passage you've been wondering about, a doctrinal issue, something that may be splitting your church or family, something you're trying to work out in the culture around us or around the world. 866-34-TRUTH. Also, I'm going to be giving away some free copies of my book, Revolution. It is the Jesus call to change the world. It will stir you. It will inspire you. It will help call you deeper in God. And with the book, I'm going to also be giving away the 10 commitments for a Jesus revolutionary card. This is a card you could put in your Bible or the book you're reading, and it'll give you 10 simple steps, something that every single believer can do to have a revolutionary impact on the world through the gospel. And there's going to be some trivia, some Bible questions, some other questions, and whoever gets those answers right, you will get a free book. Just having some edifying fun on the broadcast as well. Now, if you call in with a question that you want to ask me, I may give you the opportunity to respond to the trivia, which will be multiple choice, so you get it right or wrong. It's not an embarrassing thing. Like, who was George Washington? I'm not sure. No, because trust me, every one of us can be asked a question about something obvious and we don't know the answer to it. We've got a blind spot there. We blank out. But when it's choose A, B, C, D, all you have to do is choose. Before we get into any of that, and I've got some neat articles to share, some important world news updates, some sobering stuff, some encouraging stuff. Great testimony was sent by a worker from Jews for Jesus. I hope you are well. Just a quick word of encouragement for you. A Jewish woman walked into the Jews for Jesus office, and after talking for a while, she agreed to stay in touch with me. This is a coworker in New York City. Yesterday, a dear sister with a great heart for the Jewish people. She writes, yesterday, I picked her up for church. She told me that she found a Messianic believer online and had been listening to him. So here's a Jewish woman who walked into the Jews for Jesus office, all right? So now she's staying in touch with this worker with Jews for Jesus. So the worker says, I was thrilled to hear she had been listening to your YouTube videos. She actually listened to 12 of them on Saturday night and said that that's the reason she'd go to church with me. At the altar, she cried out and said, Yeshua, save me. This was just on Sunday. Praise God. Please know she came from a drug background and can really relate to your testimony. Such a blessing. And so on. So I'm so blessed to hear a report like that. And by God's grace, materials that we have online able to touch people. And thank God for faithful workers who are sharing the gospel with Jews and Gentiles alike without shame. You know, I want to hit the home run in that respect. I want it to be bottom of the ninth inning. Our team's down by 3 runs. It's the last pitch. The bases are loaded. I hit a grand slam home run, and it turns the tide of everything. But, you know, that's not normal life. Normal life is day to day. Go about your business. Honor the Lord. Love your family. Share the gospel as you have opportunity. And you never, never know the radical impact that one life, that one story, that one act can have. So let's keep going for it. Together, we're making a difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I will get to your calls shortly. Just want to give a couple of important updates. I had said yesterday when we announced that the Sudanese Christian woman who had been arrested for alleged apostasy and adultery, she was raised by a Christian mother. Her father is a Muslim. So according to Islamic law, she is a Muslim. If she is now a professing Christian, that would mean apostasy. And in many streams of Islam, in fact, Orthodox Islam, death penalty for conversion from Islam to another religion. And then because she's married to a Christian man and has had now two children with that Christian man, that would mean that she's committed adultery because they don't recognize the marriage. Well, she was sentenced to 100 lashes. She was in prison with her baby son. Her husband was in the States. She was in prison with her baby son. She had to give birth to her baby daughter, according to some reports, with one of her legs chained. And this is what she had to live with in captivity, was sentenced to 100 lashes, after which she would be executed. So an absolute horrific sentence passed on her. World outcry against it. She was released. There were pictures of her with her husband reunited with the kids in a safe house. And I just said, let's keep praying that everything will go smoothly. Well, she has been rearrested. She and her husband were arrested, or she was, but they were all detained as they were seeking to leave Sudan. So we need to keep praying for this. But check this out. This is her brother, Al-Samani Al-Hadi, one of three brothers. He calls their private family business what's happened with his sister. He says, he's on a CNN interview. Firstly, I want to say I'm the brother of the convicted woman, Abra Al-Hadi. He says her name isn't Mariam. Her name is Abra Al-Hadi. I am Al-Samani Al-Hadi Muhammad Abdullah, her full older brother. So because she's raised by a Christian mother, no, it doesn't matter. Father is Muslim, therefore she is Muslim. And he says this in the midst of other disparaging claims. She went missing in Ramadan last year for 45 days. That's when we went to the police. When she was picked up, we found her face was different. The way she looked at us was different. She was bewitched. When she stood in front of the court, she said her name was Mariam Yahya. We were shocked. And he goes on to say that it's one of two things. If she repents and returns to our Islamic faith and to the embrace of our family, then we are her family and she is ours. We are prepared to hold her dearer than the apples of our eyes. But if she refuses, she should be executed. And he says this, why would I indulge my humanity, my emotions, and incur the wrath of my Lord? That's not how it works for us. Wow. On the one hand, I understand that human emotions can play with our sense of right and wrong, that human emotions can lead to compromise. But to basically say, hey, it doesn't matter, she's now a Christian, she should be executed, I'm not going to put my humanity in this. Obviously, his humanity that's missing is the humanity that's created in the image of God. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones. Lester in Cambridge, Massachusetts, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
You're welcome.
My question was, I heard pastors say that they have, that if you have sin in your life, that Satan has a right to you, that he can oppress you, I was wondering if there's any truth to that, like in Achan, in the camp of Joshua 7, verses 1 through 26.
Yeah,
the accursed thing that Israel had a problem; they couldn't defeat their enemy. Mm-hmm. And then when King Saul had sinned, kept sinning, and then God was trying to get him to repent, then the devil would come and vex him, and only mm-hmm. King David's lair could what's his name. And then when Ananias and Sapphira they lied to the Holy Spirit, and then they had to give up the ghost. I just want to know if you could give me some clarity on that, if you have.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And thank you for an important question. This is not just theory. This is our very life that we're talking about. For sure, we can open the door to the enemy. In other words, we can, let's just look at it like this. I'm looking at my computer screen here, looking at these calls, looking at relevant articles. I've got on another computer screen the Bible open in multiple translations in ancient languages. Well, that's what I'm taking in to my system. That's what I'm looking at. If God forbid I clicked on pornographic websites tonight or something like that, I've just opened the door. I've opened the door to all kinds of junk, not just from my eyes, but spiritually. I've opened the door to demonic junk. If I begin to lie and share a web of lies and say, well, I know I never did that, and now I'm further getting in the enemy's turf in that sense. So Paul writes in Ephesians 4 and says, talking about interpersonal disputes and things like that, don't let the devil have a foothold. Don't give any place to the devil. If in a household, a husband and wife married, and they begin to entertain bitterness towards each other and ugly thoughts towards each other, and they're ungrateful towards each other and they're critical of each other, it's a lot easier now for the enemy to come in and start to feed seducing thoughts and, well, what about this one and that one's more attractive or whatever it is. I mean, we'll give you 1,000 different potential examples. But the fact is, we can open the door to the evil one, whereas he wouldn't have access to us otherwise. If we have the armor of God on, if we're walking in faith and holiness, if we are trusting God and living within the canopy of his love, then the devil has less access. He's still going to try to attack. 1 Peter 5 tells us that Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We're told to resist him steadfast in the faith. So we resist him by not playing games with sin. We resist him by being strong in our mind, in our heart, in our consecration, etc. So we can open the door to the devil. We can open the door to demonic influences. We can get outside of God's protective care. And when we get outside of God's protective care, that can open the floodgates of hellish attack against us. The protection, the shield can be down in that respect. So for sure, if we play games with sin, if we give ourselves over to demonic images, let's just say you watch some horrifically violent demonic movie, and you're going to come away with your thoughts filled with that junk and those kind of images. It's a lot easier for the enemy to access our minds and to infiltrate our armor when we do those things. That being the case, if we cast ourselves on the Lord, if we're quick to repent of known sin, if we put our trust in him and recognize that we are overcomers in Jesus, we don't have to worry about the devil. It's just like if the roof on your house is good and the windows are good, you don't have to worry about leaks coming in. But if you let that roof deteriorate and you leave the windows open, the rain could get in. I'd look at it the same way in the spiritual realm.
So do you believe that that Christians can be possessed?
Well, it's not that's a whole other subject. In other words, when you say possessed, do you mean that Satan takes over the person's life so that they no longer have any control? Well, that would mean that they have rejected the lordship of Jesus on some level. Can Christians be oppressed by demonic spirits? Can Christians find an area of bondage in their lives where they become enslaved to a particular sin? Could Christians open the door so that there's constant demonic torment? Certainly. Absolutely. But that's different than an unsafe person being completely under demonic power where they've lost even their will to resist. I'd make a distinction there.
You mean like Judas Iscariot?
Yeah, like Judas Iscariot, given over at that point, and even when he tried to fix things, there was no way back. Right, so I know believers who have opened up the door to the enemy. They played games with sin, and next thing they're bound, And they're literally messed up. And in themselves, they don't know how to get free. And they need help. They need prayer for repentance. They need sometimes to literally get delivered of these demonic influences and power. But that's only because they open the door. In other words, if the windows are shut, to use my example, if the windows are shut and the roof is secure, the rain will not get in. If we understand who we are in Jesus and Satan in Jesus is under our feet, we need never come under his power. We have to play games, get on the wrong side of things. That's another reason not to play games with sin. Hey, out of time, but thank you for the call, sir. Important questions. When we come back, I've got a book giveaway for you and more of your calls. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
And on Tuesday, you've got questions, we've got answers, 866-34-TRUTH. And we're about to give away a free copy of my book, Revolution, The Call to Holy War, or in its e-edition, The Jesus Call to Change the World. And by the way, you can get this book for your gift of any size, and we're including with it 10 Commitments of a Jesus Revolutionary. This is one of these books that you're going to read it, and it ignites something in you. It stirs something in you. It stirs a deeper passion, especially when you look at how worldly people have given themselves to destructive causes and then the lofty, life-giving cause that we are called to. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to the phones, let's do this. So the first one who gets this right gets a free copy of Revolution, which is over 300 pages long, plus the 10 Commitments of a Jesus Revolutionary card. Who said this? As we turn to the evangelical leadership of this country in the last decades, unhappily, we must come to the conclusion that often it has not been much help. It has shown the mark of a platonic, overly spiritualized Christianity all too often. Spirituality to the evangelical leadership often has not included the lordship of Christ over the whole spectrum of life. Spirituality has often been shut up to a very narrow area. And also very often among many evangelicals, including many evangelical leaders, it seems that the final end is to protect their own projects. I'm again asking the question, why have we let ourselves go so far down the road? Who said that? A. Billy Graham, B. Franklin Graham, C. Francis Schaeffer, D. David Jeremiah. Was it A. Billy Graham, B. Franklin Graham, C. Francis Schaeffer, or D. David Jeremiah? 866-34-TRUTH. Just call in and say who it was. Take your stab, and whoever gets it gets a free book. Let's go to Sharon in Kaufman, Texas. Sharon, were you able to hear that quote read?
Sort of, but I was reading something else. So I
went, All right. Tell you, we'll just let our other callers guess in the background here. Your question, please.
Well, I had originally asked your gentleman about what you thought about the 666 and the Antichrist, because I'm teaching religion. But I have another question that popped in my head. You know, they teach so much about Daniel's 70 weeks and the 69th or the 70th week. And most people believe that that is the seven-year tribulation and so forth. I don't know. I just don't know if that's correct or not.
Okay.
For the Jews, what is your opinion? I'd like to know all your opinion about Revelation, because I don't get to hear anything about what the Jewish perspective is on Revelation.
Thanks for the question. And by the way, folks, we do have a winner. So thank you for your calls, friends. We do have a winner. That quote comes from Francis Schaeffer, and it is in my book, Revolution. Every chapter in Revolution begins with very powerful quotes, and that is a quote from Francis Schaeffer. All right, so Sharon, my perspective on the 70 weeks of Daniel is that they end with the destruction of the Second Temple in the year 70. In other words, over 1,900 years ago, and that it's clear that the Messiah had to come and accomplish certain things before the Second Temple was destroyed. He had to make full atonement. He had to bring an end to iniquity in terms of let it be culminated in his killing and let it be fully paid for. And that is all fulfilled before the destruction of the Second Temple, and that there is not a large gap that folks would refer to as the church age. There is not a large gap between the end of the 69th week and the beginning of the 70th week, which at this point is a gap we're talking about of close to 2,000 years. I don't see that in the text, so I see that all those things had to be fulfilled before the Second Temple was destroyed, and therefore the 70th week is not a yet future event of a seven-year tribulation. Let me also say that Jewish believers are not unanimous on this point, that Jewish believers have many different perspectives, but many Jewish believers are not comfortable with the pre-trib rapture concept, because that would say that they are more part of the church than part of Israel, as opposed to being part of both. As saved Jews, as the saved remnant of Israel, we are part of the larger ecclesia, the larger congregation, the larger church. So that being said, we don't see this idea scripturally that we will be taken out and then Israel on the earth goes through great tribulation and great harvest in the midst of that. That's when we feel is the great time for us to be with our people in the midst of suffering and sharing the gospel. Now, a traditional Jewish perspective looks at this differently and does see the 70 weeks ending roughly 2,000 years ago, but they don't interpret them in the same messianic context that we do. But my own view is similar in that I believe that the 70 weeks have already been fulfilled with the destruction of the Second Temple. Hey, Sharon, thank you for the question. Much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to the phones, all right, here's a trivia question for you. What rock singer has most recently been banned from performing in Russia because of Russia's anti-blasphemy laws? What rock singer has recently been banned from performing in Russia because of their new anti-blasphemy laws? The laws passed in 2013. Was it A, Marilyn Manson? B, Ozzy Osbourne? C, Jay-Z? Or D, Justin Bieber? So was it A, Marilyn Manson? B, Ozzy Osbourne? C, Jay-Z? Or D, Justin Bieber? Take a stab. 866-34-TRUTH. Is it A, B, C, D? Give us a call and let us know. You get a free book. 866-348-7884. All right, friends, here's how every one of you can get in your hands a copy of Revolution. You know, just the quotes alone at the beginning of each chapter will stir your heart. Some of my favorite quotes in the world I have at the beginning of each chapter. And then through the book, we lay out why we must have Jesus Revolution in our day, what it looks like. You'll be stirred when you read about the American Revolution in the past, the Civil Rights Movement, and you'll see the price that was paid for earthly liberty and then our calling. Even how holiness, holy to the Lord, is the great theme of the Jesus Revolution. This book will stir you. The day that it came out, we gave away at a mass rally in D.C. over 70,000 copies in a single day. That's how committed we are to spreading this message of Jesus Revolution, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, living this out the Jesus way. The book and 10 Commitments of a Jesus Revolutionary, which will show you step by step how to be a world changer, everything that every believer can do. Your gift of any size, but stand with us if you believe in the work we're doing. Partner with us to spread Jesus Revolution across the land. Call now 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. This is by phone only, not on our website. 1-800-278-9978. By the way, we do have a winner. Marilyn Manson was the answer.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, Matt, let's do that. Let's come up with an unusual abbreviation that folks use, and I will come up with options in terms of what it means. Just give me a few letters, or Joey or Dwight, you can chime in here. Give me some letters that are used as a rare abbreviation, and I will come up with some options. We're just giving away some free books, having some fun in the midst of seriousness on the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You've got questions, we've got answers. All right, Joey, I'm not familiar with that one, so I'll jot that down. And I want to share some words from Franklin Graham that are encouraging, praying for a third great awakening. But let's go to the phones in Crownsville, Maryland. Karen, where is Crownsville?
Near the Naval Academy.
Ah, okay. Got it. We lived in Montgomery County, Maryland for 9 years, but I had not heard of Crownsville. All right, well, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, let me go through a little background. I'm currently 65 years old. I've been married. My first husband passed away. My second husband, I put through medical school, and he ended up with a girlfriend on the side. At that point, I got myself involved in drugs and alcohol, and finally realized that that's not the way. And ironically, about 6 months ago, I met a gentleman who is working with someone repairing something in my home, and he and I sort of hit it off. Well, the ironic thing was that he had been in prison as a drug dealer and is out of prison, and we started up a dating relationship. He converted and became a born-again Christian while he was in prison. And I myself have been doing Bible study and just realizing that Jesus, although I went through some difficult times, I witnessed my father attempting suicide, and that's why the drinking and all that. Well, I finally realized that Jesus is the one that got me through all that, which was a big step in my life.
And just to be clear, Karen, so your first husband passed away. What happened to the second husband?
I put him through medical school, and while he was going through medical school, he had...
What happened to the marriage?
I divorced him. He had too many girlfriends on the side.
All right, so you divorced him over adultery. Were you a follower of Jesus at that point?
Not as I am now.
Okay.
I did go to church every Sunday, but not...
All right, but in any case, you divorced him over adultery. You have more recently come into a serious, committed relationship with Jesus, and you've met a fellow who came to faith in prison and is now a committed believer.
Correct.
All right. And the specific question would be how to proceed then?
Well, I mean, it's been so long that I haven't been with somebody, able to trust somebody, and I'm trying to figure how to go on with the relationship.
All right. Stay right here, Karen, and I'll do my best to give you wisdom from a distance. All right. Obviously, I can only say so much from a distance, but hopefully we can give you some biblical wisdom. We'll be right back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire. In a moment, we're going to give away another copy of Revolution, the Call to Holy War, the Jesus Call to Change the World. And with that, the 10 Commitments of a Jesus Revolutionary card. But let's go back to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH, with Karen in Crownsville, Maryland. All right, my advice from a distance. First, the fact that this gentleman was in prison in the past is immaterial if he's truly come to know the Lord. There are fine gospel preachers, fine husbands, fathers, fine wives and mothers, servants of the Lord who were in prison and either in prison or after came to know the Lord and are solid citizens in the kingdom of God. The way I was living, if I had kept going on the way I was going on, I probably would have been arrested for some foolhardy drug-related thing if I didn't kill myself through some foolhardy drug transaction or something like that. So that's secondary because he's out of prison and he came to faith in prison and has been following Jesus outside of prison. If you met someone who was in prison and started a relationship with them, you know, by mail and then visiting, and now they've come to faith through you and they can't wait to get out and see you, then it becomes much more suspect because there could be ulterior motives and things like that. But in any case, it's really important to know whoever his pastor or main spiritual leader is, that they can vouch for his life. And then you just have to let a friendship relationship develop so that trust is built. But you do not want to put your full trust in a person, meaning that this person now is the one that fills your life, or this person now is the one that your life revolves around to the point that you can be carried away with. If you see that let me back up and say this. In a proper husband-wife relationship, the husband should take on a burden and role as a provider. So if you were a multimillionaire, that should be something that he doesn't know, and that if a relationship moved forward, he's the one that's responsible. If you go out for a meal, he should be the one paying, even if his job is menial. If you start to make plans should be, okay, how could he support you so that he's taking on the proper role? There's no potential drain. It's not a matter of you getting him through medical school, you know, and there's something like that in the past. Right. So that it just has to be a mutually committed relationship to the Lord and to one another, and your lives build each other up and help you go further in the Lord. And if it draws into compromise or it becomes something that's obviously a financial drain and there could be other motivation, then you really have to step back from it. And above all, just pray that God would be gracious to you as you're older now and you don't want to be taken advantage of or hurt, and you certainly don't want to hurt someone else, that if this is from the Lord, you want it to be a blessed thing. So I would really pray, Lord, if you're not in this, you know, intervene. May there be red flags. May there be other issues. But again, whoever he's spiritually accountable to, whoever he looks to for leadership, that's a person you really want to talk to, find out what's his track record, how's he been doing, what's his walk with the Lord at. And by the way, last question, how much age difference is there?
3 years.
3 years, okay. Got it. If you were going to tell me he was in his 30s or something, then you think, okay, you know, what's not that he couldn't be interested in a woman twice his age, but you'd wonder, okay, is there an ulterior motive? Is there anything else?
And may the Lord. I understand that.
Yeah, all right. May the Lord guide you and protect you along the way. 866-34-TRUTH. And Joey, I just need you to help process the call because we've just got to reboot something on my system here, it looks like. 866-348-7884. Okay, here we go. We've got another giveaway for you. Are you ready? Who said this? Cannot the love of Christ carry the missionary where the slave trade carries the trader? And this quote is one of the opening quotes in my book, revolution, the Jesus call to change the world. So, who said this? Cannot the love of Christ carry the missionary where the slave trade carries the trader? 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, I have to give you the choices. Sorry. So before you call, I have to give you the choices. Are you ready? Is it A, Hudson Taylor, B, David Livingston, C, Brother Andrew, obviously with reference to human trafficking, or D, Abe Lincoln? Who said it? I'll read it once more because to me it's a very powerful quote. Cannot the love of Christ carry the missionary where the slave trade carries the trader? Was it A, Hudson Taylor, B, David Livingston, C, Brother Andrew, D, Abe Lincoln? And Matt, you can let Dwight know which choice it was. Those fingers I'm holding up are the equivalent of letters in the alphabet, all right? Let me read a few other quotes, opening quotes from chapter 3 in my Revolution book. George E. Failing said this: "We Christians have given Calvary to the communists. They accept deprivation and death to spread their gospel, while we Christians reject any gospel that does not major on healing and happiness." Look at what Che Guevara wrote to an old friend, Julio El Gaucho Castro, encouraging him to join him in Cuba. This is a secular, worldly revolution. But listen to what his mentality was. "This experience of ours is really worth taking a couple of bullets for. If you do come, don't think of returning. The revolution won't wait." That's a secular, worldly revolutionary with that mentality. Amy Carmichael, who gave her life as a missionary, she served as a missionary in India for 55 years, never took a furlough. Amy Carmichael said this: "To any whom the hand divine is beckoning, count the cost, for he tells us to. But take your slate to the foot of the cross and add up the figures there." Wow. So I read that once more: "To any whom the hand divine is beckoning, count the cost, for he tells us to, but take your slate to the foot of the cross and add up the figures there." And then Roland Bingham, influential leader of the Sudan Interior Mission, he said this: "I will open the Sudan to the gospel or die trying." See, friends, that's how the gospel spread throughout the world. The people have said, getting the good news out is more important than my own life. Getting the good news out is more important than my own comfort. Getting the good news out is more important than my own personal happiness. Getting the good news out is more important than my own blood. I will open the Sudan to the gospel or die trying. All right, so who was it who said, "Cannot the love of Christ carry the missionary where the slave trade carries the trader?" Was it Hudson Taylor, founder of the China Inland Mission, missionary to China? Was it David Livingston from Scotland, explorer, pioneer missionary throughout Africa? Was it Brother Andrew, founder of Open Doors? Or was it President Abraham Lincoln? It was B, David Livingston, writing from the heart of Africa in the mid-1800s. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me, before I go to any other questions, Franklin Graham, let me share what he has written. "Praying for the next great awakening. Hardly a day passes that I don't hear someone say, 'We are losing our country. We are losing our churches.' While doomsday appears to be knocking at our door, let me take you back to the early 1800s. Many think of it as the good old days, but history tells us that society even then was as bad as it could get at that time. John Marshall, the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, wrote to President James Madison and said, 'The church is too far gone ever to be redeemed.' When we examine why, we find that preachers have stopped preaching the whole gospel of Jesus Christ and the people were not hearing God's word. What changed? Christians began to diligently pray for revival, and the result was the Second Great Awakening, when people's prayers stormed the heavens and when the Bible was opened in the pulpits and the Word of God proclaimed by passionate preachers, the church was awakened from slumber by the Holy Spirit who moved in hearts, spreading revival throughout the heartland of America. There have been several great awakenings in our nation's history. When I read about them, I always go back to the Old Testament, to a time in which Israel had once again turned its back on God. When its people came to their senses, they gathered and asked Ezra the scribe to bring the word of the Lord to them. The Bible tells us that Ezra stood up upon a pulpit of wood, and he opened the book in the sight of all the people. See Nehemiah 8. Our hope and desire and our prayer here at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association is to stir up followers of Jesus Christ to pray and ask for a great awakening of the church. Well, friends, I'm expecting God to do it.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, look at this. I've got my Bible software on and I've got access to my documents, but there appears to be an internet crash in our offices for reasons unknown to us. Doesn't affect our radio broadcasts. But it affects some of the things I'm trying to do on the screen, including communicating with some of you, our listeners. So, Joey, you can help us via text as needed. There's always a backup. 866-34-TRUTH. Yes, it's Tuesday, but we're also doing You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers. And before we get into any other questions, some other quotes and information I want to share with you. Let me talk to you plainly, as always, the good news and the bad news. The good news and the bad news. The good news is the bad news in a certain sense, meaning that things are going wild enough in our society. We are losing so many of our moral sensibilities. Come on, I don't watch a lot of TV. I'll watch some sports here and there to unwind. Something else rarely, you know, that's acceptable kind of viewing. And I'm sure there's a decent amount of acceptable viewing, but I just don't spend a lot of time watching television. That being said, I am I'm quite aware of a lot of reality TV shows. And I'm aware of them because I read about them. I'll read an article. I'll hear about something. And just the shows that are out there, from shows that are talking about teen moms. It's not to condemn a teen mom, but to just think that, you know, or someone becomes famous by releasing a sex tape of themselves, or just crazy stuff like that, or shows on polyamory and polygamy, and on it goes. There is such a moral downslide, downturn. There are so many things in our society that are topsy-turvy, attempts to redefine marriage and on, that finally believers are waking up to reality and saying, okay, something is wrong. Something is terribly wrong. Something is terribly wrong here. And America is going down the tubes in so many ways. I mean, look, as our debt continues to grow, as we face all kinds of crises around us, in the society, and so many questions for which we do not have answers. The good news is people are waking up, and more are beginning to pray and cry out. The problem is that it seems that when things are not so bad, we relax again. And worse still, we preach a gospel of carnal comfort. We preach a gospel of carnal security to just make us feel at home in this world, so we lose the urgency and the passion and the burden. What we have to do is recognize there's a dying world, to recognize the fact that the nations need the gospel, to recognize that the lost sheep of the house of Israel are still lost, to recognize that so much of the church is compromised here in America, that we should always live with a sense of urgent prayer until Jesus returns. So, yes, I see an awakening of hearts and more people saying, oh, my God, we've got to cry out. On the other hand, I know that if God moves, it's so easy for us to shift back into neutral or reverse. That is the challenge, to maintain an awakened mentality. All right, let me try to grab one more call. Let's go to Gene in Cartersville, Georgia. Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire.
Hey, yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to ask if you could expand upon the point where a Christian can lose their salvation.
Yes, certainly. Of course, there are different schools of thought on this, Gene, within the body. Some say that if you are truly saved, that you will persevere in holiness. In other words, if you're truly saved, you will never walk away from the Lord and deny him. And if you die in sin denying the Lord, you were never truly saved. That would be a Reformed Calvinist position. I don't hold to that personally, but I see the scriptures that seem to support that, and I don't find that to be a dangerous view. Another view says no matter how you live, no matter what you do, once you're saved because it's all what Jesus did, nothing that you did. So you can die, God forbid, a serial rapist who's converted to Buddhism and you're still saved. That I find to be utterly unscriptural and dangerous. The other view says that it's possible to forfeit your salvation, that you can truly know the Lord and walk away from him. And I see scriptural support for that. That's the view I hold to personally. But here's where we make a mistake. We use the term lose our salvation, which would give the idea of just, I lost a pair of glasses, and they're in a house here somewhere, but I can't find them. Or I had this vitamin, this pill I was taking, and I lost it. I dropped it somehow. I lost it. That's not how it is with salvation. So the idea that I can, quote, lose my salvation and it's easily done is actually a destructive concept, because it puts people in a state of insecurity. It puts people in a mindset of saved today, lost tomorrow. I had a good day saved, bad day lost. I joke about it, you know, that God writes your name in heaven with a pencil. You know, he writes your name in the book of life with a pencil, just to be sure. You know, he doesn't want to, well, he's got to erase it a lot. Obviously, that's an unscriptural concept. He who began the good work in us will bring it to completion. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. But the Bible does call us to persevere. Colossians 1 says that we will be kept blameless if we continue in the faith. So to simply answer your question, having given all this introduction, If someone walks away from the Lord and denies Jesus as Lord, I don't believe in him, I'm an atheist, I don't believe that Jesus is Lord, they renounce him, they deny him, he will deny us. So that's one thing. That person doesn't even believe there is such a thing as salvation or whatever. They deny the gospel, or they live in unrepentant, willful sin, in which case they cast off his lordship. They know this is wrong. They're going to do it anyway. And now, God knows how long it is, how long the fuse is before the explosion. But if they refuse to repent and continue to live in willful, unrepentant sin, at a certain point, they are saying, Jesus, you are not my Lord. And Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will inherit the kingdom, but only those who do the will of my Father. Hey, got to run, but thank you for the question. Friends, stand with us, partner with us, hold our hands up as we make an impact on the society, on the nations, and on the Jewish people. For your gift of any size, I want to send you as my thank you, my book, Revolution. It's the Jesus call to change the world. The quotes in the book, the scriptures, the application, the stories, you will remember them for a lifetime. They will ignite you. And with it, I'm including 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. It's an attractive card that you can take with you, keep in your Bible, your book that you're reading, and it'll show you day by day how you can live a world-changing life. Your gift of any size, call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, if you want to live for God, no one can stop you. If you want to be holy, God's grace is there. No one can stop you. Well, I know it's Tuesday, but you've got questions, we've got answers, plus a few surprises coming your way today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I am thrilled to be on the air with you today, Michael Brown. Thank you so much for joining us, 866-34-TRUTH. I don't know why I'm looking at my computer screen. Well, I know because it's in front of me, but it's blank at the moment because there is a regional, I don't know how big a region, but a regional internet outage with our internet providers. It does not affect our radio broadcast. However, we just have to do a few other things internally to text, whereas we use computer and so on. But we are used to making changes on the fly. And if you've got questions, anything in the world whatsoever that you want to ask me, anything whatsoever that you want to ask me, give me a call, 866-348-7884. Or if you're one of the ones that posts on Facebook and always differs with me, or tweets out things where you differ, or after my articles that you read online, you differ. Well, give me a call. Tell me why. Maybe we could have a civil discussion about it. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, Matt, I know we can't do this right now, but my latest article is the IRS lying. We have that up. Okay. you may want to read this. Is the IRS lying? My latest article. Just go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest article. Is the IRS lying about Lois Lerner's lost emails? The prevailing sentiment in America today could be answered with a series of rhetorical questions like, is the ocean wet? Do birds fly? Does the sun shine? So last night, Monday night, I posted this question on my Facebook page, on my Ask Dr. Brown page, quote, do you believe the IRS destroyed emails that directly incriminated the White House? That was my question. So I checked 1 hour later. The post had been viewed by almost 7,300 people. There were 163 comments, almost all of them answering in the affirmative. Some of the comments included remarks like, quote, absolutely. How can we logically think otherwise? Again, they're answering the question, do you believe the IRS destroyed emails that directly incriminated the White House? Others commented and said, does a duck quack? Duh. Anybody with two brain cells to rub together does. Only a fool would think otherwise. Is the Pope Catholic? Does a bear? Well, you know the rest. Yes. They were just trying to save hard drive space to save the taxpayers' money. And I could almost believe one person's computer crashed, but now six more people, all a part of the targeting probe, if it looks like a duck, dot, dot, dot. I know there are fine people within the IRS. It's a big organization. I'm sure it has fine people within it. I know there's a certain government service that they provide. I know it's easy for us to target them because, you know, who likes to pay taxes? Especially if we think there's something unfair about it. Who likes to fill out tax forms unless you're an accountant? That's what you do for a living. So the IRS is an easy target. Nonetheless, we already have undeniable evidence of the IRS's targeting of conservative groups. There's the very suspicious exponential increase of White House meetings with senior IRS officials during the same time frame that conservative groups were being targeted. Now there's this ridiculously convenient complete destruction and disappearance of the potentially incriminating emails, not just on Lois Lerner's hard drive, but on several other computers of interest as well. They didn't have it backed up externally. I mean, come on, just me, all my files. I've got all my files in terms of everything I've written and important documents like that. I've got them on my office computer, on my home computer, on the laptop I travel with, and then on an external service that I pay for, and then through something that comes with Microsoft. This is me.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Joey, I want you to cue up the first audio clip we have. And as you are listening, friends, you're going to get a free book if you can tell me whose voice this is. 866-348-7884. You get a free copy of my book, Revolution. The day this book was released, we gave away over 70,000 copies of the book to sow seeds of Jesus' revolution, especially in the younger generation. I have met people in different parts of the world and here in the States whose ministries were shaped and formed by reading that book. It lit a fire in their hearts. Some of the quotes I have been reading on the air today, in fact, each of them in the last hour, and some I'll read later this hour, are from the opening quotes at the beginning of each chapter. We'll tell you how you can get a copy of the book yourself if you don't win one today, along with 10 Commitments of a Jesus Revolutionary. By God's grace, and we'll get to the audio clip in a moment, by God's grace, He has anointed me to help call people to serious commitment. By God's grace, I can preach in a public meeting, and at the end of the meeting, people are responding to the message to take up the cross and follow Jesus. People are responding to the message to give themselves to the work of ministry. They're responding to the message to be world changers. We've seen deep responses, and we've seen people respond and walk this out for years to come. In other words, it's not just an emotional thing. Still, it's fair to ask, okay, well, what do I do now? All right, I want to change the world. I want to make an impact. I want to be a revolutionary. What do I do now? How do I do that? And in fact, that's a question that many of our students would come to me about, or our grads would come. Dr. Brown, our hearts are burning. What do we do next? How do we live this out? And sometimes we're looking for the big, large opportunities and kind of the overnight thing that happens that's a cultural tipping point or turning point. But in reality, those things are few and far between. And for the most part, change comes by the way we live on a daily basis. So 10 Commitments of a Jesus Revolutionary, we print it up on a card, very attractive format, and it's really practical. Okay, I can do this. Yeah, I can do this. Yeah, by God's grace, I can do this. Every day, whether you're a working mom or dad, whether you're busy raising kids, whether your life is stretched in different directions, these are the kinds of things we can do by God's grace on a daily basis. So I want to get those in your hands, the book and the 10 Commitments of a Jesus Revolutionary. So I want you to hear this, and we'll play a couple more clips once you identify who it is. But go ahead, let's listen to this first clip.
If a person didn't know about salt, wouldn't he think that anything with such a strong taste would kill the taste of all the other things in any dish you put it into? We know that, as a matter of fact, it brings out their real taste. Well, it's rather like that with Christ. When you've completely given up yourself to His personality, you will then, for the first time in your life, be developing into a real person.
Ah. Whose voice is that? Was that the voice of Francis Schaeffer? All the people I'm going to list are with the Lord now. They're all deceased. Was that the voice of Francis Schaeffer? Was that the voice of G.K. Chesterton? Was that the voice of D. Martin Lloyd-Jones? Was that the voice of C.S. Lewis? A. Francis Schaeffer. B, G.K. Chesterton. C, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones. D, C.S. Lewis. Give us a call. Take a stab. Can't hurt to take a stab. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. The first one that gets it right gets a free copy of my Revolution book, over 300 pages, plus Ten Commitments of a Jesus Revolutionary Card. Again, A, Francis Schaeffer, B, G.K. Chesterton, C, D.M. Lloyd-Jones, and D, C.S. Lewis. Let's just listen to a couple more clips. Clip number two, as we continue listening to this Christian leader, whoever it was. Clip number two.
The self you were really intended to be is something that lives not from nature, but from God. There are no real personalities anywhere else. I mean, no full, complete personalities. It's only when you allow yourself to be drawn into his life that you turn into a true person.
Ah, that's certainly bound to offend certain people. That's a quote that's certainly bound to get people to say, well, are you Christians saying we're not human? But his point is, this anonymous voice, that there are no real personalities outside of being God, meaning no full, complete personalities, that who we are created in God's image cannot be full unless we are in right relationship with him. And one more clip. And then again, was it Francis Schaeffer? A. Was it B, G.K. Chesterton? C, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones? D, C.S. Lewis? Let's listen to the last clip that I have here to play for you.
Even in literature or art, no man who cares about originality will ever be original. It's the man who's only thinking about doing a good job or telling the truth who becomes really original and doesn't notice it. Even in social life, you never make a good impression on other people until you stop thinking what sort of impression you make. That principle runs all through life from the top to the bottom. Give up yourself and you'll find your real self.
That's a lot to think about. Some profound observations there. Well, the audio that we played for you was from a BBC series, Beyond Personality. It was entitled Mere Men. It originally aired on March 21st, 1944. And that was the voice of C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis. Now, you may have read C.S. Lewis and never heard his voice. And you hear it and think, wow, that's interesting. Well, certainly kind of what you'd expect his voice to sound like as a British scholar. Remember, you may know him from the Chronicles of Narnia. You may know him from Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, and so on. You may even know him from Mere Christianity. But remember that he was a widely hailed scholar of English literature. He was a widely respected professor. His lectures were often packed out. And as a literary critic, his work was highly regarded. So when you read Mere Christianity, if you think, that's shallow, it's probably because you haven't thought it through sufficiently. And in other words, there is a depth of thought behind what he says. Now think of this. Think of genius on another level. Think of the genius of our Lord Jesus, obviously in harmony with his Father and speaking by the Spirit, but also as a human being, a man of unexcelled genius. Just think of this. His parables work across culture. His parables work across time. His parables work across age groups. That is not easily done. That, look, you can read ancient literature and, you know, you say, okay, I don't understand this image or that or this, or find something that works cross-culturally, cross-time, cross-age groups, almost unheard of in terms of a serious body of literature. And yet the teachings of Jesus as parables are such that the most brilliant person studies them for life and keeps gaining insight, and a child can understand them. That's something that God gifted C.S. Lewis with, to be brilliant enough to be able to write books for children and the books endure. I mean, when the Chronicles of Narnia series, the movie trilogy was coming out, and I actually never read the books myself. I saw one or two of the movies, I think one with Nancy and then one with the grandkids. But I remember just walking through an airport or something, and everywhere they were selling the C.S. Lewis books and stuff, and you know, the bookstores all selling them. I thought, isn't this remarkable? I mean, over a half century after his passing, roughly a half century after his passing, and these books are bestsellers, and another generation is reading them. Kids are reading them, and yet he could think with the best of them. That's anointed genius. We will be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. You've got questions, we've got answers. Anything you want to ask me, talk to me about, I'll be taking some calls today, also giving away some free books. In my book, Revolution, it came out in 2000. It's Revolution, the subtitle, The Call to Holy War. If I had written it after 9/11, because of the wrong associations with the concept of holy war, I would use a different subtitle. Hence, our e-version is The Jesus Call to Change the World. But in point of fact, John Bunyan had written about holy war, and the image of Christians called to holy war in terms of enduring hardship as good soldiers of Jesus, that's biblical. That being said, holy war in the sense of jihad, holy war in the sense of violence against one's enemies, holy war in the sense of advancing the kingdom of God through the sword is deplorable, is despicable, is absolutely not in harmony with the character of Jesus or the words of the gospel. And in fact, my book Revolution has two whole chapters on the call to nonviolence, how Jesus calls us to put down our sword and take up our cross. And that's part of what we do in the Revolution book, is renew our minds to what it really means to be a disciple. Listen to what Athenagoras said. He was a second century Christian leader. He said, the Romans charge us on two points, that we do not sacrifice and that we do not believe in the same gods as the state. It's the same charge against us today. We do not bow down to the gods that the society bows down to. We do not bow down to the gods that the world bows down to. And friends, we make a mistake when we look at America primarily as being of the kingdom of God as opposed to being of the world primarily. Yes, there are millions of believers within America, but America is still a secular nation. What I mean is it is not a theocracy as Israel was. It is still something where people vote and good laws can be passed and bad laws can be passed, where we can have godless Congress or a godless president or whatever the thing might be, that we are dominated by a media that often stands against the purposes of God or the standards of the Word of God. So, of course, we do not bow down to the same gods our society does. And Athenagoras talks about some of the persecution that came against believers in the second century. Justin Martyr, who was beheaded in 165 AD, said this, we are publicly accused of being atheists and criminals who are guilty of high treason. You say atheists, yes, because they denied that Caesar was God. They denied that the Roman gods were gods. And therefore, they were considered atheists. Fascinating, isn't it? And Eric Liddell, Olympic gold medal winner, missionary to China, said this, the kingdom of God is a new order, founded on the fatherly love of God, on redemption, justice, fellowship. It is meant to enter into all life, all nations, and all policies till the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of the Lord. All right, let us go to the phones in Dothan, Alabama. Jeremy, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Brown. It's an honor to talk to you. I enjoy your ministry very much.
Thank you, sir.
I just had a question real quick. I heard a TV preacher a few days ago, they were discussing hypergrace. It was like a panel of different preachers. And it came up, they were talking about how they didn't agree with hypergrace, but one of them said that the heart is really what it's all about. And the statement that caught me off guard was the preacher said that David, for example, he said, if David would have died in the middle of the act of adultery, he would have went to heaven, not because of hypergrace, but because of his heart. And that just kind of caught me off guard because in First John, you know, it says anyone who commits sin on purpose, you know, is not a child of God. And also in 1 Corinthians 10, it says about that he will give you a way out of temptation, that he'll give you a way of escape. So I guess that was just my question is, I mean, would David, would anybody go to heaven in the middle of the act?
Ah, great, great question. And it's an important question, not because we want to live every second thinking, oh, no, I thought a bad thought at that split, oh, no, Jesus came in that split second, or that's when I'm going to die. God's going to take me home in a car wreck just at that moment when I was thinking a wrong thought. That's no way to live. We need to live trusting in the Lord and secure. On the flip side, we don't want to trivialize sin or play with sin. Real quick, do you remember any of the folks that were on this discussion panel?
Yeah, I mean, is it okay to say who it is? Or
sure, sure.
It was on the Jimmy Swaggart program, Francis and Friends.
Got it. Okay. So, no surprise then that they would have that particular particular viewpoint. Here's the thing. We know that the biggest issue is the person's overall relationship with God. And that's why 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he, God, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, here's the big question. If I'm walking in the light, where is any sin? Why am I being cleansed from sin? It's because walking in the light does not mean perfection, but it means this is the course of our life, walking in the light, walking in obedience. So if I do sin, the proof of my walking in the light is that I turn from that sin. The proof of my being a child of God is that I do not persist in that. So if you have a David, it's a gross, vile thing he does. He commits the sin. He walks in disobedience for some time. When he's confronted, he immediately repents. And Psalm 51 is attributed to him in that context. Now, what would have happened to him, not just in the act, but in the aftermath, when he covered up, when he had Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed, he was walking in sin that whole time. Was he wrestling in his conscience? Was he going back and forth? It would seem that way, so that when confronted, he deeply repented. But God is looking at the overall walk you have with him as opposed to a momentary act. So let's just look at it like this, all right? Since sin is sin in terms of breaking fellowship with God or being displeasing in his sight, let's say that one of your kids did something wrong and you were really frustrated and you screamed at that kid that you're just stupid, you're just a bad kid. Well, you've sinned against your child. If you died that split second, would you go to be with the Lord? Yeah, I don't believe that one specific sin and dying at that moment means someone doesn't go to be with the Lord. Ananias and Sapphira, they sinned and they were judged because of it. I understand from context they were believers. So my understanding would be they sinned and they were judged for their sin, and there's a public example, but that doesn't mean that they were damned to hell over it. So ultimately, God is the judge. If I think I can play with sin and get away with it, I am deceived. If a man takes fire in his bosom, Proverbs 5, will his clothes not be burned? If he walks on hot coals, won't his feet be burned? So when you mess with sin, instead of you controlling the sin controls you. So I want to walk in holy fear and recognize that there are consequences to sin and that I cannot and must not play games with it. And if I harden my heart against God and refuse to repent, I am now in serious danger. That being said, I walk in constant recognition of his mercy, goodness, kindness, and love, knowing that if my heart is set to serve him, then there will be repentance and turning away from evil.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I know it's Tuesday, not Friday, but you've got questions. We've got answers. Delighted to be with you and having some fun as well, reading some quotes to you, seeing if you can identify who said them, giving away free copies of my book, Revolution, together with 10 Commitments of a Jesus Revolutionary Card. In my office and throughout this region here, again, I don't know how far reaching, but our intranet is out. Our intranet is down. And I've just been sent a text which is explaining it. It's Israel's fault. That's right. It is Israel's fault that the internet is down. No, I'm being facetious, but the Jews tend to get blamed for everything. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, are you ready for this? I'm going to give you four choices. You have to tell me who said these words. Are you ready? For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Who said that? Was that a quote from Shakespeare? That's A. B. Was it Aristotle? C. Was it Jesus? D. Was it Solomon? You ready? I'll give you the quote again. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Was that a quote from a Shakespeare character? It's A. B. Was it Aristotle? C. Was it Jesus? D. Was it Solomon? Even if you have no clue, just can't hurt to take a guess. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You know, I remember when our girls were in school, our older daughter Jen, she'd come home, we'd say, how'd you do on the test? I think they're pretty well. And then we'd say, any questions you didn't know? She said, yeah, there were a couple I didn't know, so I just left them blank. And we'd say, were they essay questions? No, they were multiple choice, but I didn't know what it was. Like, well, you take a stab. You can't just take a stab. Don't leave it blank. If you've got four choices, you got a 25% chance of getting it right. Don't leave it blank. Anyway, so even if you have no clue, feel free to give us a call at 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, Joey, didn't Matt tell you the answer to that? I thought he sent in that info to you a while ago. So there you go. Well, Joe, wait a second. Joey just confessed that he did not know the answer to that question. Ah, no big deal. You can throw 1,000 quotes at me and I won't know the answer to them. So it happens to the best of us. 866-34-TRUTH. A bit of news. BBC News from Edinburgh. Are you ready? This is from June 20th. Pair jailed for Edinburgh Central Mosque bacon attack. Now, look, I'm not belittling the fact that this is an insult to Islam. It's just a bit of a funny title, headline. Pair jailed for Edinburgh Central Mosque bacon attack. A teenage girl and 39-year-old man who desecrated an Edinburgh mosque by attacking it with strips of bacon have been jailed. Better they did it in Scotland than in Pakistan or Saudi Arabia or Iran, in which case they could have well been killed on the spot. Shame they did it at all. They attached bacon and door handles and threw strips inside Edinburgh's Central Mosque on January 31st, 2013. Let's see. The man pled guilty. It was, and the woman was found guilty afterwards. And what's the sentence? Wow. About a year in prison. About a year in prison.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, please be praying this weekend on Saturday. I have the joy of engaging in debate on the subject, Can You Be Gay and Christian? If you haven't read my book on the topic yet, I really encourage you to. You'll find it to be tremendously important, practical, and one that'll give your heart to reach out to those who identify as LGBT. And I'll be debating on Moody Radio on the Up for Debate broadcast, which airs, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. So that is 9 a.m. in Eastern Standard Time. You can work it out from there. We'll be posting on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, links. We've already done that, but we'll do it some more. And then it should be put online immediately after that for folks to listen to. There should even be a feed where folks can watch as well as we're doing this radio debate. But it'll be with Matthew Vines. Matthew's just 23 years old. He was a student at Harvard, dropped out to research what the Bible said about homosexual practice and could you be, in fact, committed to Jesus and a committed same-sex relationship at the same time. He concluded that you could, did a talk about that in his home church a couple years ago. It went viral, was viewed over 500,000 times on YouTube, and then wrote a book that's been getting a lot of attention called God and the Gay Christian. Now, you might say, well, come on, he's 23 years old. He's not even a college graduate. He's not an experienced debater. It's not going to be fair. Well, I think Matthew is an articulate young man. I believe he's quite wrong, and I believe he's leading others in deception. But he's an articulate young man. He's really focused on this. As much as I differ with his book, he's read a lot of relevant literature, and he's able to present his views with clarity. So I'm taking this very seriously. In other words, I'm not saying, oh, he has no... No, I'm taking this very seriously. And more importantly, there are people dearly loved by God who are really wrestling through these issues that we want to be able to help with this debate, that I want to be able to help with this debate find grace and truth together. So please pray that Jesus would be exalted, that truth would triumph, that falsehood would be exposed. And I imagine that Matthew would say, yes, pray for those very things. He claims to be a born-again Christian. I believe he's in grave danger in espousing the views that he espouses. But please do be praying. We'll give you more information about that. All right, I'm going to give away one more book. All right, and the number to call, 866-34. I haven't said that we have a winner. Sorry about that. With my computer system down, I have to look periodically over to my phone where texts are coming in. Sorry about that. We do have a winner. Hey, Dwight, it's just a little extra work for you today, and you didn't show up on Saturday. I couldn't wait to meet you face-to-face, man, introduce you to all of our listeners. I mean, people travel as far as 800 miles on Saturday to Winston-Salem just to meet Dwight, and he wasn't there. Well, no, not quite, but we were disappointed that he couldn't make it, but I'm sure things came up over the weekend. All right, it was Jesus who said, for if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Now, I knew that verse from just reading through the Word as a believer, but a British speaker came over to the Bible school where I was teaching on Long Island in the 80s, and he said that when he gives that quote, people don't know who it is. So, anyway, it was Jesus who said it. What's the context? He was on his way to the cross. He was on his way to the cross. And there were women who were lamenting and crying. And he says, Luke 23, beginning verse 28, turning to these women, he said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. Look, the days are coming when they will say, the women without children, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed are fortunate. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Or in the King James, if they do these things in a green tree, what will happen in the dry? All right, let me give away one more book. All right, one more copy of Revolution together with the Ten Commandments of a Jesus Revolutionary Card. And let me encourage every one of you to get a copy of the book. Your gift of any size. We'll tell you how to do that in a moment. We don't have this posted on our website, so it's by phone only. But give us a holy shot in the arm of encouragement by saying, Mike, we're standing with you. We're partnering with you. We want your voice to be louder. We want to partner with you to reach more people all over America to make a greater difference. You know what's really neat? If someone gave us $1 million tomorrow, not a dime of it would go in our pockets personally. It would all go to expand the ministry work. It would go to sow into our missionaries around the world, like Fabian that you heard from yesterday serving in Iraq right now with a team of our grads. It would go to get us on more stations across America. It would go to help us reach more Jewish people with the gospel. So your partnership, together we are making a difference. So I'll tell you in a moment how you can order a copy of Revolution together with the Ten Commandments of a Jesus Revolutionary. All right, you ready for the last quote? The last quote. Who originated this saying? Not who has repeated it or used it, but who originated this saying? Neither a borrower nor a lender be. Neither a borrower nor a lender be. Was it A, Shakespeare? B, Dave Ramsey? C, Larry Burkett? D, Solomon? Here's the quote. Neither a borrower nor a lender be. Was it A, Shakespeare? B, Dave Ramsey? C, Larry Burkett? D, Solomon? Now, I've got my own personal story that ties in with that, by the way, which I'll tell you in a little while. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. 866-348-7884. Oh, let me read a few more quotes to you. Opening quotes. Every chapter in my book, Revolution, opens with quotes. And the chapter on moving music and a militant message, the sounds of revolution, how God uses music to affect change, how God uses music to get a message out. 1 Samuel 16:23 shows us the power of music with the anointing of the Spirit whenever the Spirit from God came upon Saul, meaning an evil spirit that was sent to torment him. David would take his harp and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. There is power in music. It can be used for good purposes or bad, but there is power in music. 2 Kings 3:15, while the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. Elisha was asked to bring a prophetic word. He was with a godless king from Israel and a godly king from Judah. And he said, if not for the godly king from Judah here, I wouldn't even think about it. I wouldn't even think about it, to paraphrase. But when he wanted to get a word from the Lord, what did he do? What did he do? He asked for a minstrel. He asked for a minstrel to come and to play. And as he was playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. I can't tell you how many times I've experienced that. The right song, the right words, the right person playing it, and the Holy Spirit suddenly breaks out, begins to move, touches me, touches others. 2 Chronicles 20:22, as they began to sing and praise the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. So as they began to sing and praise, that's when God moved. So it is the truth content, but also along with the power of music and anointed music. William Booth said this, founder of the Salvation Army, co-founder of the Salvation Army. William Booth said this, secular music, do you say, belongs to the devil? Does it? Well, if it did, I would plunder him for it, for he has no right to a single note of the whole seven. Every note and every strain And every harmony is divine and belongs to us. So consecrate your voice and your instruments, offer them to God, and use them to make all the hearts about you merry before the Lord. That's what Booth said. What they would do is they would take songs that were sung in the bars, sung by people who are getting drunk, take the tune and put gospel words to the tune and march down the street singing them. And people are like, that's blasphemous. That's the world. He said, no. That tune belongs to God. And we're going to join it to the gospel. And these people who were alcoholics and whatever and drinking, and they'd hear the tune and like, what? And then they hear the words with it. Suddenly, they were hearing the gospel. We do have a winner. The answer is Shakespeare. We do have a winner, neither a borrower nor a lender be. I'll tell you how that ties in with my own life. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, remember Keith Green's probably most powerful song, Asleep in the Light? One of the lyrics said, how can you be so dead when you've been so well fed? Jesus rose from the grave, and you can't even get out of bed. You know, I have read the words of Asleep in the Light to students. And then I read them with some passion. And then I said, okay, now let's listen to Keith Green sing them with the music. And oh, the piercing power of it, it's different. I haven't been talking about music if you just tuned in, but this week for your gift of any size, standing with us, supporting us in ministry, helping us, sowing into Jesus Revolution in America and in the nations, we're sending you a copy of my book, Revolution, which is a call to give your life to Jesus to go and change the world. And if the topic doesn't excite you when you read the book, you'll get excited. And if that's your heart already, it'll cause the fire to burn more brightly. We're so committed to this book and message getting out that when God stirred me to write it, it's a 330-page book. He stirred me to write it in a six-week period in the midst of my time in the Brownsville Revival, meaning that my schedule was very intense, had a brief break during Christmas, New Year time, but otherwise very intense schedule. God moved on me. I felt like I was being carried as I wrote this book. And long story short, it came out just in time for us to print tens of thousands of copies. Actually, we had funds to print 100,000 copies to give away at a massive rally called the Call DC that took place September 2nd, the year 2000, the largest gathering of Christian young people, I believe, in American history, from 6 in the morning to 6 at night, praying, fasting, seeking God together, worshiping, preaching, repenting, looking to the Lord. And we gave away, the crowd size being what it was, estimates were around 300,000, the crowd size being what it was, the folks said, all right, just one copy per family initially. It ended up we gave away over 70,000 copies of the book in a single day. And he said, what'd you make off that? What do you mean, what we make off it? We gave away over 70,000 copies of the book, and we had to believe God for funding, and folks sacrificially helped us to make that possible. But this book has been lighting fires in hearts ever since. And as you partner with us, we'll send you a copy of the book, Revolution, The Call to Holy War, along with a card. It's an attractively laid out card, 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. You say, I want to make an impact. Mike, my heart's burning. I don't just want to live my life and then look back and think, okay, what did you do with your life? I want it to count. I want to make an impact. I want to touch lives, but what do? I sell everything I have and go on the mission field. What do I do? How do I do it? Ah, very practical, important questions. That's why I laid out these 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. So you'll read them, and each day, okay, I can do this. I can spend quality time with God. I can spend quality time in the world. I can share my testimony. I can reach out to someone who's backslid. I can do an act of mercy or kindness. I can partner with a ministry that's doing works of compassion. 10 practical steps that everyone can take to be a Jesus revolutionary. So the book, and the card as you partner with us. And I want to make this clear. There are plenty of wonderful ministries on radio and TV and in your local churches and serving in many other ways around the world. We each have our unique assignment. I have this particular assignment to be your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. I have this particular assignment to help raise up and equip laborers to send to the nations. I have this particular assignment to reach out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel with the gospel and call the church to pray for Israel and stand with Israel. I have this unique assignment to help be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. So as you say, yeah, I resonate with that, and I stand with you, and I believe in what you're doing. Your gift, your partnership with us makes a massive difference. So your gift of any size, call now 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Once more, that's 1-800-278-9978. And I was reading in the last segment some quotes from the beginning of chapter 7 in my Revolution book, which is about moving music and a militant message. I talk about how in the counterculture days, the 60s and early 70s in particular, how music was used so powerfully to bring about social change, and the vast majority of it was negative. But, you know, you get a song and people start singing the song and a tune goes around the world and a theme gets out, and it really has that unique impact. So I was reading different scriptural quotes, and then William Booth saying, hey, every note belongs to the Lord. So if the devil's using it, I'm going to take it back. I'm going to plunder him for what he's got, because every note and every strain, every harmony is divine, belongs to us. That's what he was saying. Obviously, you can have a discordant sound, but he's saying every, I guess, legitimate sound, you could say, can be used for gospel purposes in terms of tunes and melodies and things like that. And that's what Salvation Army did so successfully. And I've shared my own testimony. I've shared my own testimony how it was the influence of rock music that opened the door for me to start doing drugs, and from that to get into that life of rebellion and sin and destruction from which God saved me in 1971. All right, back to the quote before the break, neither a borrower nor a lender be. And that was not Dave Ramsey or the late Larry Burkett, great financial counselors, Christian financial counselors, nor was it Solomon, the wisdom of Solomon in Proverbs. It was a Shakespeare quote. And when I was a fairly new believer, and I had been memorizing the word a lot and reading the word day and night, remember, this is the days before you had smartphones and e-books and things like that, so it was in the days before you could just search for something right on your phone or on a computer. You know, you'd have to use a concordance if you were trying to look something up and find the right word to look it up. And, you know, Strong's Concordance, whatever you had, Young's Concordance. So I was talking to a guy, and he was an atheist. His wife had been a Jehovah's Witness, and I was helping lead her out of Kingdom Hall and the deception of Jehovah's Witnesses. And he was a college professor and an atheist and a very sharp guy. And he challenged me on the biblical call to give and be generous. He said, but then how do you line that up with the verse that says neither a borrower nor a lender be? I thought, oh, that's a contradiction. That's actually a contradiction. And I checked my concordance and I couldn't find it. I thought, well, I must be doing something funny because it's obviously there and I'm missing it. How can I be missing it? I'm missing it. And then I asked around and then discovered, oh, it's Shakespeare. It's not in the Bible. So whoever got that right, congratulations. And we're looking forward to sending out a number of free copies of Revolution to those who answered our questions rightly today. And then again, get your own copy. Stand with us so you'll have the joy of partnering with us. You'll have the joy of sharing in the reward of all the countless lives that God's enabled us to touch. And you'll be blessed with a book that will really burn in your heart. The quotes alone are worth it. And then the 10 Commitments of a Jesus Revolutionary. So thanks for joining with us. We've got some great programming coming away the rest of the week. Can't wait to be with you here in the Line of Fire. My bottom line today, you know, most of us will not be called to do some great and mighty public act that the nation sees. But God's looking and ready to use you in the little, in the small, every day.